that they did. It's almost like a match made in heaven. So, Franz Ferdinand did a cover of Amel and the Sniffers. They covered the song You Should Not Be Doing That from the incredible Cartoon Darkness album. And I remember Alex Soprano saying something like, well, they really admire Amel and the Sniffers, but about the song specifically, he was saying something like, this is just one of those songs that was waiting to be written, and what a band to cover it. I think Franz were kind of the band that were waiting around to find this song and cover it. I will put a content warning on it. It is an explicit song, but we are coming closer to that hour mark. I think we're over the 9 p.m. mark, so we'll be listening to that. You can find Amel and the Sniffers also on Bandcamp, and Franz Ferdinand too at franzferdinand.bandcamp.com. It's their cover of You Should Not Be Doing That. And then we're going to play some very, very local music. We are playing some Queens releases, some Kingston releases. Our bands have been, you know, getting into the studio in these cold months, and they've been recording the music that a lot of us have been seeing them performing for the last couple of years. So it's really incredible to see all this come to fruition. We've got music from Rev Z. Their debut EP has finally come out. It's called Welcome to the Real World. Real ones will have heard a lot of these songs when they did their live session with us, but that was back in 2023. So it's great to have these songs now properly recorded. You can find them on their Bandcamp page, revzed.bandcamp.com. I'm going to be playing us the song You're Gonna Hear My Name Again. And then Dutch Baby, another band that I remember seeing back in April, just before I left Kingston, also really fun band. They were at the time doing a lot of kind of 50s rock and roll covers, stuff like that. They've put out their debut single, which we're also going to be listening to. It's called Don't Pass Me By. You can find them on Instagram at Dutch Baby Band, so do go check them out. And then after we come back from that, we'll be joined by a local band. So we were out and about, as we tend to do, seeing local shows and stuff like that. There's a new band called Trash Wire. We recorded their set at Toronto's Raven Underground, which itself is a newish venue. So we were downtown this Friday. We, you know, got to see them and all of that. Their music is quite electroclash, punk rock, it's a bit shambolic, it's a bit trashy, that's in the name. And their frontman, Gabe, joined us to talk about writing, about their unusual origin story, about dumpster diving for guitars, and their upcoming debut EP. And you can find them on Instagram as well, at Trash, W-Y-R-E, Trash Wire. But let's get started off with Franz Ferdinand, You Should Not Be Doing That. Stick around.
Off your skin. I was struggling to tell you where I have been, cause I've been running around making a mess of myself. Know how you feel about that? You told me once when I told you that, but I am trying my best to get it on. Not everybody makes it out alive when they are young. I was in Tokyo, showing off my crack, and you told me that I should not be doing that. Hey! Another person saying I'm not doing it right. Another person trying to give me some kind of internal fight. But I'm working on my worth, working on my work, I'm working on who I am. I'm working on what is wrong, what is right, and where I am. I know my worth, I'm not the worst. You told me once I was. I cannot do this anymore, I gotta hit the buzz. I was in Tokyo, popping shit up, while you were down in Sydney trying to get you. I know my worth.
by 1/4 right now off Trashwire. Hello, Gabe. How are you doing?
I'm very good post-show. Mm-hmm. Very tired, but very, very honored to do such a big show.
Yeah, well, let's introduce the band for our audience.
Trashwire is a four-piece hyperpunk band featuring the likes of Hex, Dean, Lemon, and myself. Mm-hmm. Lem plays guitar, Dean plays bass, and Hex does all of our lovely electronic stuff. She's the absolute greatest.
And you guys have a pretty interesting origin story. Like, this wasn't a band that kind of organically came together, right?
Yes. It was a band that got put together through a punk rock lottery. We literally all submitted our names into a local show, a local venue called The Arcade. And we got put together in a group chat and got told we had 30 days to make a 15-minute set. And hence, Trashwire was born.
And the set was all originals.
All originals.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you guys have members from kind of all over, right? Like, you've, from what I know, you've got one member who's like 18. And I think you were saying Hex is like in their 30s. So how does that like bring a different kind of, like, everyone brings their own influences to it, right?
Everyone definitely does. Everybody grew up in a different decade, which means a different scene that was popular at the time. Mm-hmm. We get to make fun of Hex for being a old ass lady. And we get to make fun of Dean for being a young ass person. Except it hurts our feelings when Lem and I get called Unk. So if we could not do that anymore, that would be fantastic.
So this is a band that's officially not Unk. For anybody listening.
Not Unk, 100%.
Cool young band, just verging on Unk. But you guys have, like, the name itself is a bit of a band philosophy, isn't it? Like, Trashwire.
Yeah, so the band name is actually from my thing as well. We were originally called Trashcaster. Lem had a guitar that he found in a dumpster, and we were going to plan on using that for all of the shows, except for when the fact that you realize that a guitar found in the dumpster does not make the greatest noise.
No, imagine so.
And as such, he had another guitar that he ended up using. And so I felt like I was really sitting at home late at night and I was like, Trashcaster just doesn't sound like the right thing. I was like, we're like electronic trash fellas, trash people, trash wire. Mm-hmm. And asked the chat and everyone was like, that's it.
It's a wired show as well.
It's definitely a very wired show. We're very high energy. We're very much a punk band. I don't want to get it twisted by people hearing hyperpunk and thinking, what is that?
It's not Charlie XCX.
No, we're definitely not Charlie XCX. We are like if Green Day and Water Parks had a incestual baby. And Trashwire came out, and Underscores is a little bit in there. Underscores was like in the cuck chair in the corner, like we were just kind of like there.
It sounds quite electro clash to me.
Yes, it's definitely a unique sound, something that I've never personally heard of, but you know, originality is what makes or breaks a band in these days. So
yeah, to me it sounds quite like doom glam punk.
Doom glam punk is a very fair assessment of the band, I would say. I've always labeled it as hyperpunk mostly just because I know that that's the direction that we're very much heading towards, even if we're not 100% all in. Like, we're not fully diving into the deep end of it yet. We're kind of just dipping our toes in the shallow end. But I think we definitely are headed in that direction, hence why I say hyperpunk. But doom glam punk is definitely a fair assessment of our situation currently.
If I tell y'all up and I don't see feet off the ground levitating like you're an angel, you're not doing it right. So when I say up, you're gonna get up.
Hello? Hello?
Molecule.
hell in this building. It is hot, it is sweaty. Now we're at a punk show.
But I feel like what makes it that kind of unique sound is that you've got this back end that's like this electron, kind of like lo-fi electronic drum kit. And then in the front, you're completely a punk band. So like, how did you come towards that sound?
So originally we were actually an all keyboard band, if you can believe it. So we were even more into the like electronic side of things. However, what ended up happening was we realized we are not Kraftwerk. And so four keyboards could not work. It kind of just came down to a point of everybody being like, well, I could play bass to add a little bit of depth to the band. Well, I could play guitar. Well, at this point, why don't we just kind of mix the styles of like a synth punk band and a traditional punk band? And it ended up coming together quite well, I would say.
Yeah, kind of retro-futuristic almost in some ways. But so how did those writing sessions go? Like, you get thrown into this room with like completely new people who presumably you've never met before, and you just have to get in there and write.
It's definitely daunting, but I feel like as opposed to being in another project where you kind of have an idea of where the band is going to kind of be and there's kind of that one front person, we've treated Trashwire almost like a democracy. So everybody had a say in what they wanted the vision of the band to be. Once you kind of got the vision down, the writing process of the songs actually came a lot easier. You realize you're a punk band, so you have to do something political. You have to do something. You have to make a very clear stance as soon as you make your first show announced. And we did that immediately. Our first song that we wrote was Cop Car, and it was one that I had already been tinkering with on my own. And so I was like, if everybody likes this idea and they like this vibe, let's go all the way and make Cop Car an official song.
And that's one of the songs that really goes crazy live.
Yes. It was actually originally one of the first songs on our set list, and we have since moved it to the last song because we realized that that's the song that A, sounds the most perfected, and B, is the one that really gets everyone moving.
Mm-hmm. And what else has come out of those writing sessions? Like, what else, kind of, what directions have you gone in? What have you written?
I've recently gone very absurdist with my most recent songwriting. I feel like that's the way to go for something that's like hyper pop or hyper punk. But like, we've gone through a whole bunch of stuff. Lem has done songs in full Spanish before. A song that we debuted at the Raven on January 30th was a song called Shoot Em Down. And we have a verse that's in English and then a verse that's in Spanish because we felt like it was a good mixture of me and Lem's kind of combination of things. Our songwriting talents kind of blending together.
How's that received live?
Honestly, we fully admitted that like we're a very trashy band. It was definitely not our most perfected song, but the crowd seemed to like it. And knowing that we were not at our best on our first show and people still liked it, and we grew quite a big fan base really quickly, it gave us the confidence, and it especially gives us the confidence now to go forward with this song and see how it feels in a couple more shows.
Yeah. And the show that we're catching you after is one of your shows at The Raven, which is a venue you've played before. And it's not a tiny venue. Like, a lot of bands will start doing like small house shows, backyard parties and that kind of stuff. You guys went straight for like a 300, 400 capacity venue.
Yeah, so that was honestly a bit of ambition on my end. I figured if you want to be a band that honestly gets taken seriously, signs a record label henceforth, you need to kind of show the crowd that this is the kind of band that they're coming to expect. If you're playing house shows, if you're playing backyard venues, you're always going to be seen as a house show or a backyard venue band. Versus if you're playing shows that have 400 capacity people, even if you're not selling it out, just the fact that you sold or you played at that venue is a huge testament to where you are as a band, especially if you sound as professional as... Honestly, it might be ego me saying this, but as Trashwire is.
Mm-hmm. How do you balance that with like the DIY side of it though?
So the reason why I think it balances very well is the show that we did right after the Raven show on December 14th was at a house venue.
It was. We were at that show.
Yes. You guys came by and you guys saw the vibe. So we are able to fit into either aesthetic. We can do shows that have a 400 capacity venue. We can do shows that have a backyard venue. We can do shows that have a house venue. We can do whatever. There's a lot of noise going on right here, but listen, you guys are interviewing Trashwire, and like, what honestly were you guys expecting? Perfection? Not possible. There's always going to be a little bit of like, oh wait, that wasn't supposed to happen. I pulled my shirt off tonight. That wasn't supposed to happen.
That wasn't planned.
No, it was not. I got two shots offered to me on stage. So it was like, you know what? Like, when in Rome.
Don't ever deny a blessing from God.
Exactly.
Wise words from Fig. But you guys are working towards actually putting the EP out at some point.
Yes. Our current plan is for a spring release date. If that ends up getting pushed to summer, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just the front man and the person that doesn't do anything in terms of the financial side of it. But if Hex says, yes, we are ready to go for the summer or springtime, then yes, the EP is on the way.
We're ready to have it. Where can people find all this stuff?
Currently...
Or where will they be able to find it?
In the future, we hope to do a Bandcamp. A lot of the band members are currently trying to shy away from Spotify with the political aspect of it. If that ends up being on Spotify, once again, don't shoot the messenger. It's just kind of like where we're at currently. But you'll be able to find us on Bandcamp, probably YouTube, more than likely Apple Music, just everything that's not supporting a genocide.
Any plans for physical releases and stuff, like CDs, cassettes?
Yes, so we actually, at the shows, since our very first show, we've actually been selling cassettes. That's how we've been getting our word of mouth kind of going around, is whatever we have, if that's a recording session, if that's something that's like halfway edited, we just put it onto a trash tape, is what we title them, and sell them for $10. We warn people, though, it's not going to be very good. It's not going to be the most, like, technically proficient sound, but it's definitely the most authentic tape that you can own if you're a Trashwire fan, compared to a year from now when everything is, like, super commercialized and studio-fied.
Okay. And I mean, like, demos for the sake of putting the word out reminds me of some a little man called Arctic Monkeys got really big off of the whole demos thing. So, like, it does a job, eh?
It definitely does. I mean, like, not to toot my own horn, but as somebody who is also running the doors and helping out with the event tonight, seeing the amount of people that were there for Trashwire set specifically was honestly kind of jaw-dropping. Like, I honestly feel like we had the biggest pull of the night, which for a band that's not even half a year old is, like, crazy. Like, I'm still kind of, like, starstruck. It could be the alcohol, though. Like, I'm gonna be completely honest.
I was gonna say, though, like, you're seeing more people coming into the show. So for people that are thinking, okay, we've got to go see Trashwire live, what can they expect when they come and see you guys perform?
You can expect the absolute worst show you've ever seen in your entire life, mixed with a little bit of electronic stuff in there. But in all seriousness, you can expect a very high energy electronic punk sound, and that may or may not include shots being taken on stage, people jumping into the crowd to mosh with the fans, and a shirt or two being thrown off.
Plucky. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Gabe.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
A high from the peanut gallery laughing. We'll be right back.
for each coat. Feel free to strike wire. Strike wire sign. Emergency sign. What's your emergency? Thank you.
Thank you. We're Trash Wire. Have a good night.
Bye.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by your friends at Single Thread Theatre. They're running PXR 2026 this February, an exciting conference where live art meets extended reality. Get your tickets now. Learn more via Single Thread Theatre on Instagram. I'm Dinah Jansen. Each week, this program features smoking hot local singles released this year right here in Kingston, Ontario, that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series alongside occasional interviews, just like today. Local artists can get in on the action with social media promotion and airplay on our airwaves by completing the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In today's program, we're featuring a lovely chat with local indie punk rocker Anna Robertson of 47 Teeth about the band and their newly released sophomore album, Fakers. Let's jump right on it. Welcome to CFRC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Really excited to have you here and really excited about your new album, too, with the whole band. I would love it if you could tell us a little bit about 47 Teeth as a band and who's in the band and who's playing what. Tell us more about 47 Teeth.
Sure. Yeah. We've been a band for about 11 years, if you can believe it. And it's me. I am the vocalist and guitarist, and Dee Prescott is the bass player and vocalist, and then Jesse Aylesworth is the drummer.
Fantastic. And how did you all meet and decide to create music together?
Yeah, Jesse and I have known each other for almost our whole lives. Our moms are best friends.
Aww.
So we never played music together until, I guess it was my 30s or so. We ended up at shows together and realized we had similar taste in music and just kind of pushed to jam. And then the jam was awesome. We both brought friends in and kind of started from there.
Amazing. And so I've seen descriptions of 47 Teeth as being a little bit of indie, a little bit of emo, punk, and something called Bumble Punk.
That's awesome.
That's what Kingston Live refers to your band as, Bumble Punk.
Nice. So,
I'm not sure what it means. I'd love to hear your perspective. So with these descriptions in mind, including emo, which is written right on your website, how would you describe 47 Teeth as an act and its overall vision and sound for folks who might be new to your music?
Yeah, it's tough. We've pondered on this for a long time. I find genres hard these days. I mean, we have a lot of different influences, like Midwest emo is huge, Riot Girl, like 90s punk, pop punk, skate punk, like all of that is stuff we grew up listening to. So that's there. What it comes out as, I think, is kind of a mix of this like pop punk influenced indie rock. We've also toyed with the term alt pop. I don't know. It's hard.
So maybe that's what Bumble Punk means.
Exactly. Bumble Punk is, this is the first time I've heard that one. So I'll have to Google that.
So if we look it up on Google and it says Bumble Punk, your name comes up first, perhaps. We'll have to check that out. Thanks so much. All right, Anna. So you guys have been together for a while, like 11 years, you said. Yeah. I wonder if you can share with us how the band has evolved from, I understand you had a pre-pandemic EP called Emotional Support, and then you had an album called Apologies released mid-pandemic, your first full length. That came out in 2022. Tell us about the evolution of the band from EP to mid-pandemic full length until now with your new sophomore album.
Sure. Yeah. We have gone through a couple of transitions. So Dee and I have played together. We had an acoustic duo called Little Tiny Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
and have known each other for years and years and years. And once we started playing with 47 Teeth, it was a four piece. So Jesse's friend Joe was the bass player. And that was that first EP kind of era. And we kind of wanted to make a go of it. So we all moved to Toronto. Our bass player decided to leave at that point, and we got a new bass player, Matt Wu. So we were a four piece for a while, and then our lives just kind of took different directions, and all ended up back in Kingston a year or two later. And we were sort of wanting to play, and we didn't know if we wanted to spend the time looking for a bass player. And we all just got along so well as a trio that Dee decided to switch to bass. So I think like during those pandemic years, that was us trying to find our sound as a three piece, and Dee kind of getting comfortable figuring out her role as a bass player. And then that's kind of where Apologies came from. And then I think this latest record is us like more settled in our sound. Like we've kind of figured out what we want to sound like and what we want to produce. And I'm pretty proud of this new record.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations to you and the whole band on the new release. So that new album is called Faker. Tell us the story of the album and what story does the album tell overall?
Yeah, it's more so Apologies was kind of like looking back at our past. You know, it was a pandemic. We weren't really doing a whole lot. So we were kind of pulling out stories from our past. And then this one is kind of more topical, like just things we've been going through. Like Fakers is related to the last song, Fakers Gonna Fake, which is like a breakup song. And I think it's just sort of like an emotional release album. There's songs about like anxiety and things that we've been struggling with. It's I think that's where the emo side of things comes. Like a lot of it is that like release.
And now I'd love to hear about some of the individual songs, like your lead single, Portland Flower, which came out late last year. But there's also other great tracks on there. I particularly loved Radio and Dogs in the Park. Tell us about the lead single, Portland Flower, first.
Sure. That one was an interesting one because we started it as a four piece. That was one that we had toyed with for years and just never really worked. And then for whatever reason, in the last couple of years, we picked it back up again and finally were able to finish it. So that one was like a relationship of mine that I was leaving back in like 9 years ago. Oh. and just like reconnecting with those same feelings, not really knowing like which direction to take and if you're making the right decision and that kind of thing. Radio is about like an person from my past that I kept like connecting with and then separating from and connecting with and like figuring out what that means. Dogs in the Park is another breakup song in referring to Dee's relationship. So yeah, a lot of interpersonal topics.
Yeah. Fantastic. So with the many tracks on the album, which one is the one that you're like, oh, I can't wait to get on stage and play this one. It's my favorite. Do you have all of them are fantastic. Do you have one that just like really excites you most?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, Get Effed. I don't know if I can say that word on the radio, but that is my personal favorite to play. That one is about anxiety. And I think like, it's very, it feels good to let those feelings out when I play that one.
Amazing. Well, I don't know if we could play that one, given that we might have to bleep out quite a lot.
Right.
Because this is a midday family friendly show.
Exactly.
But folks who want to be able to listen can definitely check it out on various streaming platforms. Now, also, I understand that 47 Teeth also just had a launch party for the album at Broom Factory. How did that go?
It was awesome. I love the Broom Factory. Like Mark and Roy are amazing. And it was just such a good like community feel. It was a crazy snowstorm and we still had a ton of people come out, which I like just so appreciate. And Dee has another band with Moira and Megan Hamilton and Ange, and It was their first show. It was the drummer's first show ever. So it was just like this like lovely, supportive community. And the second band, Doing Okay, are an amazing local band too. So yeah, it had good vibes.
Amazing. And I'm glad people showed up in the midst of a snowstorm for it too. And now, how can people learn more about 47 Teeth and keep up with the latest show dates and maybe other singles and things that come out and maybe mini tours, things like that?
Yeah, for sure. We do have a website, but it's not very updated. I'd say Instagram or Facebook are your go-tos. Instagram, I think, is the most active for sure.
Awesome. Thank you. And now, before we close, I'm also aware that you and Dee Prescott have a show called All the Feels on CJAI-FM Amherst Island Radio, our besties in the whole universe.
Yay.
Tell us about this amazing radio show that you've got airing over at CJAI.
Yeah, it's so fun. Love the CJAI folks. We actually did an interview and in-studio session with Shannon on Sonic Objection, her show there. And while we were doing it, Dee and I were sort of looking at each other being like, we could do this. And then we talked to Eric, the station manager there, and he was all for it. So within a couple of weeks, we had our own show. And in May, that'll be a year of us doing that. So it's every Sunday at 4 p.m.
Amazing. Well, fantastic. It's great that you're talking about awesome stuff that you love about music and local music and your band and your journey on this show called All the Feels. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for joining us here on CFRC and chatting about the new album. And we're going to spin a few songs in just a few moments from it. And all the very best. Congratulations on the new album. We really do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so lovely.
And thanks so much, Diana, for joining us here on the Release Radar Rundown to chat with us about the new album. Let's give some songs from this album a spin right now. Coming up, we're going to listen to the lead single, Portland Flower, followed by Dogs in the Park and Radio, Dealer's Choice and Punk Girl from the 9-track emo indie full-length that's hella focused, raw and confident in its overall sound while leaving some room for both melody and restraint. Local lives here on CFRC 101.9 FM, and I'm so excited to share all this new greatness with you. So Queens and Kingston, time to put in your mouth guards, jump up and jump around and have some great fun with this fantastic set. Let's go. And welcome back, and thanks again to Anna Robertson of 47 Teeth for chatting with us today about the band's brand new album, Fakers. Be sure to give the band a follow at 47 Teeth on Instagram to keep up with the latest developments and show announcements. Before signing off, today's intro and outro, Bed, is an older single released by the band in 2017 on their EP Emotional Support called As a Spy. And just a reminder before we sign off that local musicians who want their new work amplified on social media and aired on CFRC can complete the release radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. And don't forget to follow CFRC at CFRC Music on Instagram as well. For now, we're going to end our show with another track from 47 Teeth called 211 off their fantastic new album, Fakers. Thanks for tuning in to the Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by our friends at Single Thread Theatre. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll see you next time.
Stuck in the 2000s and need to listen to some music to fill that void? Tune in to Basement Noise Thursdays at 2 p.m. with me, your host, Emily. Only on CFRC 101.9 FM. This vacation's useless. These